Hello, this is Gideon Rothstein, and this is a response of a day for the 24th of Tammuz. Today we're going to learn from Rav Moshe Feinstein in Shu"t Igrot Moshe, Yoredeya, the first volume, the Chelek Aleph, the first time Rav Moshe Feinstein approached Yoredeya. Issue Simon Reish Mem Bet, response number 242. This is from the 24th of Tammuz of Tufshin Yud Gimel of 1953, and the question is, when is one allowed to move somebody who has passed away? The response was written to to a man named Shmuel Pliskin, who was the secretary for the Vat HaRabbanim, or the Mazkir, which often means secretary, but he means like the organizing person. Maybe the executive director would be what we do today, but for the Vat HaRabbanim of Baltimore, and to all the members of the Vat. So there's a rabbinic group in Baltimore, and their job is to oversee Jewish matters in Baltimore, and you had a problem with the family. They have the name of the family in the response, which is kind of, I think, kind of interesting, because I don't think that's always true. I think often often Meshivim leave the names out. In this case, there was a family named Yamkis, whoever they were, but they had the following problem. The matriarch of the family had passed away about a year before, and they had buried her in the cemetery right near the fence. And now the family has come back to complain, not to complain, or they've come to ask, or to petition, or to request, or demand, whatever the right verb is, to move her. They want to move the remains because they claim that she had several times in her life said she doesn't want to be buried near the fence. She wants to be buried more internally to a cemetery. Now, the people who are in charge of the plots, the people who sell the plots for various shuls, right, it used to be a money-making, it was like a fundraising thing for shuls. They would sell burial plots. So the shul that sold her the burial plot, they say that this is a perfectly honorable place, and there are plenty of honorable people buried there, and they don't want to move her. For whatever reason, they don't want to move her. They don't have a place. We're going to see later on, this family owned three rows of plots. So it seems like they would have had room to move it within their own plots. It's not clear exactly why the members of the owners of the cemetery, the owners of the plots for the shuls don't want to, but they don't want to. Maybe we'll leave them with this plot that they couldn't use because people don't want a plot that somebody's been buried in before. It's unclear in the tshuva. Question is, though, what should they do about it? And, it says the Chavri Havad are the members of the rabbinic group in Baltimore are unclear. They disagree with each other about what to do about it, meaning some want to give in and some want not to, and they don't want to do about it. So as we read or learn together Rav Moshe's tshuva, and I think I forgot to thank Rabbi Jack Abramowitz and David Hochhauser and the OU for helping us with these shiurim and putting them online and making them available to you. So as we learn from Rav Moshe, I want to notice the halachic component. And then there's a psychological insight component that I think is very interesting and is a question of whether and when rabbis feel comfortable saying they know what other people are thinking, how other people should be thinking, or how they are thinking. So we'll get to that in the course of the discussion today. So his opinion is that, first of all, she's wrong. They're wrong. When they think that being near the fence is a bad idea, he says that they're wrong. Right? Being near the fence is a good thing. It's an honorable place. How do I know that it's an honorable place? It's at least as good as the middle, he says. Maybe better. And how do I know? Because the truth is, halachically, we bury Kohanim and their wives at the end of a cemetery. I actually was just recently in a cemetery in Eretz Yisrael, and you walk along, and I had reason to walk along a lot of the cemetery, not a lot, but some of the cemetery, and I saw at the end, you always have all the edges have Kohanim. Why all the edges have the Kohanim? Even the Rambam writes that way explicitly, and the reason is so that the Kohanim shouldn't have to go into the Beit HaKvarot, go into the cemetery, because once you bury the person, the relative, right? So it's important to know, it's not written explicitly in the tshuva, but it's important to know that Kohanim have the obligation ordinarily not to become tamei lemeit, not to become ritually impure by contact with somebody who's passed away, except for, other than Kohen Gadol, who we don't have today, except for types of relatives. We don't say it's seven types of relatives, but it's really sort of four types of relatives. It's a spouse, it's a wife, it's a child, it's a parent, or a sibling. Right, so those four kinds of relatives. We always say seven because there's two of each gender other than wives. So for them, you'd have to be mitame lemate. The kohen is obligated to get tame. So the kohen is, let's say, God forbid, a parent passes away, a kohen's mother passes away. Kohen's going to go bury his mother. That's an obligation. Becomes tame to bury his mother. That's an obligation. Goes to the cemetery, buries his mother. Now let's say she's in the middle of the cemetery. On the way out, isn't he have a problem? Isn't he getting tummy for all these other people that he's coming into contact with on the way out? Because so there's a whole question about whether if you make enough of a path and is there a way, but let's assume that that's not possible. Isn't he becoming tamei? So that's why the halacha became, and that's the way it's possibly in the Yoredei, Shinai, and Dalet Zion, that we put Kohanim and their relatives at the edges of cemeteries so that the family of Kohanim, we need to bury them, don't have a problem on the way out, on the way back from the burial. But Moshe Feinstein says, so if you're going to bury Kohanim there, Kohanim are very honored members of the Jewish community, so if that's the place where Kohanim tend to be buried, it's clearly not a problematic place to bury, it's a very good place to bury people, and therefore it's not true. Whatever, her claim is not true. Now that, the importance of her claim not being true will come up again and again throughout the responsum, and it seems to be very important to note it, that Moshe Feinstein is comfortable here saying she has a claim, meaning I think there are people who might say, well, she's decided she doesn't want to be buried there, shouldn't that matter? And so Moshe Feinstein is going to say, it's going to be part of his calculus that if she doesn't have a valid reason for why she doesn't want to be buried there, then no, it doesn't matter as much, it matters much less. So if it didn't bother us at all to move her, if there was absolutely no halakhic issue with moving her, maybe the fact that it mattered to her, even though she's delusional, right, even though she's not correct in thinking there's a problem with being buried near the edge of the cemetery, maybe it wouldn't matter to us. But since there are going to be other halakhic values that come into play, it's going to be very important for us to note that Rav Moshe Feinstein thinks that her bother and her claims and her problems with being buried at the edge don't seem to have any halakhic merit. If they don't have halakhic merit, we treat them much differently. And it's no worse, he says, than the rest of the cemetery. So, therefore, even though some places bury Kohanim in the middle of a cemetery, right, or Kohanim or their spouses in the middle of a cemetery, because there is an opinion of Rabbeinu Tam's, Moshe Feinstein just refers to it, but I looked it up, and where I found the easy way to express it is there's a Ran in Nida that I found, who says, Rabbeinu Tam holds that we pass the like Rabbi Akiva, so Rabbi Akiva held that when a Kohen, so here's the question about a Kohen. You could tell me, well, he went into the cemetery to bury, as he was allowed to and obligated to bury this close relative. He's already become tummy, right? So on the way out, isn't he already tummy? The truth is, today all Kohanim are tummy. But everybody agrees, the fact that a Kohen got tummy on Tuesday doesn't permit the Kohen to get tummy again on Wednesday. That's adding tumma. So, and everybody agrees that when the Kohen is actively involved, or I think everybody agrees, I think we postulate, when the Kohen is actively involved in the burial of a relative, the fact that he becomes tummy for something else doesn't matter because he's a bechibor. If he's completely involved right now in the act of burying somebody, so that therefore he's in the act of being tummy for this person, the fact that there's also tumma from another person coming along doesn't matter. But once he stopped being involved in the burial of a person, does that immediately, so most Rishonim hold, that immediately means he cannot, he should not be allowing himself to become tameh for others. Whereas it seems like in the Gemara, Rabbi Akiva held that day he might have room not to, and therefore Rabbeinu Tam, who paskin that way, felt that he can go further into the Beit HaKvar, into the cemetery, to bury a relative, because even though because Rabbi Akiva agrees that he's not allowed to just randomly, casually get tummy the rest of the day, Rabbi Akiva holds that there's no malkot. It's an isur d'rabbanan. It's a prohibition d'rabbanan. So there's a prohibition at, and I always try to put this in quotes, we remember that when we say only d'rabbanan, we mean within the halakhic system, where Rabbanan, where Chazal allowed us to treat their laws slightly more leniently than ordinary laws. That's why we often say only, even though we don't mean only. It's a very serious thing to transgress the Rabbanan. But here would be an example where, since this is, in quotes, only a Rabbanan, there's an obligation of kavod meito. For Rabbeinu Tam, the involvement with the mate, with the deceased, even though that will involve this coin going further into the cemetery, and therefore on the way out having to become tamei, having more tamei for these other people, Rabbeinu Tam thought that was enough to push aside the derabbanan. Now it happens to be, I think, that coin will not be able to visit relatives ever again because he can't get tummy for them. Whereas when they're on the edge of a cemetery, I think there's more room for the coin to find a way to not become tummy, to stay far away from any cemetery, from any other graves, and therefore to be able to go, in some sense, visit that relative's grave. They won't be able to stand over the grave because that becomes tummy and whatever, but there's more room for it. But in any case, even though there are places that rely on Rabbeinu Tam, says Moshe Feinstein, we're back in the tshuva. Now, that doesn't change the fact that the edge of the cemetery is still a very mechubad place, still a very honorable place to be buried, because that's where most Jews all over the world will bury Kohanim and Kohanim's relatives in the ways that we've discussed. And so that we can assume that you won't have to worry. This is a valid halachic worry that the woman didn't explicitly state, but the Moshe Feinstein is putting in, if she was worried about being buried near people who are of lower stature, lower halachic stature, people who are sinners, people who just aren't as good Jews as they could be. So this we've seen several times. Whenever burial comes up, that's a big issue in burial, about who gets buried next to or near whom. But at the edge of a cemetery, it's generally going to be Kohanim and honorable people. And if that's true, then even if it were a fact, and we'll come back to this later, even if it were a fact that she had said very clearly that she didn't want to be buried at the edge of a cemetery, but once it happened, sorry, not only once it happened, we'll get to that in a second, but she's making a mistake, Rav Moshe Feinstein says. It's only because she thinks that it's a bad place to be buried. But if she knew there's nothing wrong with being buried on the edge of a cemetery, and maybe it's even better because that's where Kohanim go, and she'll be near good, valid, good Jews, and therefore it's got certain advantages, maybe she wouldn't have been Makpeth, she wouldn't have had this claim, she wouldn't have made this rule with her family, she wouldn't have told them. So therefore, Rav Moshe Feinstein says, Yesh lahachshiv ka'anan sahadeh. So an Anan Sadi Halacha is a halachic concept in certain circumstances, many circumstances, where the Beit Din will say, it's so clear that this is what the person would have wanted, we're allowed to act on it as if they would have wanted it that way. Right? That's an Anan Sadi. It comes up in a bunch of places, but here Rav Moshe Feinstein is saying, it's so clear that being buried at the edge of the cemetery near the fence is just fine, that even if she explicitly said something else, we assume that's because she didn't understand. If only we had a chance to explain it to her, she would have agreed with us and realized she'd made an error. That's also like an anasadeh. It's a very daring move, I think. I think it's very, it shows a certain halachic confidence that I'm not sure I would necessarily have understood or seen in other poskim. He's willing to say that she said X. Now, in the end, he's going to question whether she really did say X. But right now, he's saying, even if she said X, but since X is so obviously a mistake, we can assume she really would have meant Y, right? She said no fences, no spear, no fence. He's saying that's only because she made a mistake thinking that it was bad to be buried at the fence. If we had explained it to her, then she would never have thought that it was a problem. She would have agreed that it wasn't a problem, and therefore that. And therefore, it becomes like she never commanded the family to move her or not to bury her somewhere else. And therefore, he says, now here's the next important halachic discussion he's going to have. You're not allowed to move her. Why are you not allowed to move her? We're going to get to it, but even if she knew it, and she said it anyway, she said, I know that it's just as good a place, but I have a juk barosh, I have just this thing, I don't want to be buried at the edge of the cemetery. So he thinks it's dead. And she said, and let's say she said, and if you bury me there, I want you to move me. If you bury me there for some reason, I want you to move me to the plot that I want. Rav Moshe Feinstein still thinks that we shouldn't listen because there's no real reason for it. And ein ha-pinui lichvoda. See, once somebody's buried in halacha, it becomes a big question as to whether and when you're allowed to move them. And there's Moshe Feinstein about to discuss. We're going to learn about these issues right now. So if the pinui, if the moving of the person is for the kavod, the honor of the person who's deceased, so then there's more room to allow it. So, but if it's not for the honor of the deceased, then we're not allowed to do it. So since here, it's like he has no real reason for it, then moving her is not something we're going to be allowed to, because now Rav Moshe Feinstein is going to show that the fact that somebody tells us what they want doesn't always count in terms of the halachos kvura. The Gemara talks about the Sanhedrin memvav. Let's say a man says, or a woman says, let's say somebody says, that they don't want to be buried at all. Don't bury me. Now, they can say this for lots of reasons. They could be worried that it's going to cost too much for their family. They can be worried that they're going to take time away from, you know, the kids' jobs, and they want to do whatever the reasons that a person comes up with, says, I don't want to be buried. We don't listen to that person. The Rambam passes that way, and the Shulchan Aruch passes that way, that we don't listen. And the Kesef Mishnah quoted the Ramban that it might be a prohibition to oraita mishum bizyona. There might be a prohibition on the biblical prohibition of treating the deceased with bizayon, with disgrace. So you could say, well, it's not disgrace for the person to define themselves. It's not clear that they're allowed to define the definition of disgrace. It's a bizayon, it's a disgrace to all of humanity that they leave their deceased just lying around. And therefore, even if the parent, right, or the relative, whoever the relative is, passes away and says, I don't want to be buried, and the heirs say, we'd love to listen to that, doesn't matter. We don't listen to them. They're not allowed to listen to them. And there's a prohibition there because of the bizayon to all of humanity in leaving the deceased unburied. Now, that's not leaving them unburied at all, but let's say they've been buried and now you want to move them to another place. So there, too, there's a problem. The problem is generally considered nivul hamate. That's what the Rambam and the Rambam wrote. So nivul hamate means to treat the mate, treat the deceased poorly. And so what's that nivul? Where does it come from? So the answer is when we're moving the person who's passed away, the nevel would come from that. You're opening the grave, you're pulling them out, you're jostling the bones, right? Even this is after even all of the other matter has decayed. You're jostling the bones, you're moving it to a new place, you're putting it in a new place. But not only that, Moshe Feinstein says there's nevel af b'fticha u'bedika. Even let's say, and this comes up in a couple of, let's say, I remember there's a famous case a bunch of years ago where they claim that maybe Abraham Lincoln wasn't buried where people think Lincoln is buried. Maybe it's not Lincoln. They substituted somebody, some such story. So they wanted to exhume the body to do a genetic test to check. I think that was the story. If there's some story, if they wanted to check it for some other reason, you can feel free to email me at grothst@gmail.com. They wanted to exhume the body to check. So Rav Moshe Feinstein saying, he doesn't refer to that case. I brought that case in from my own vast knowledge of completely insignificant details of human life, which unfortunately replaces in my brain the knowledge of Torah that we should all hope to have. So Rav Moshe Feinstein says, even opening the grave and just checking it, there's a nevel there. Then there's a mistreating of the deceased. We're going to see it in a second, so we'll get to it. And all the more so, he says, to move it. So since there's an evil, since there's a mistreatment, and you can say, well, it's not mistreatment because the person wanted it. So the answer is, Moshe Feinstein again is saying, no, the evil has to do with the fact that it's an evil, it's mistreatment. Even though the person wants it, it's still mistreatment. And therefore, we're going to get to when that might not be true. Therefore, we don't listen to the command to move the body because the worry about nevel, about mistreating the deceased, Rav Moshe Feinstein is saying, now that's a bizyona l'kulei chaye. See, in other words, he's interpreting nevel, the mistreatment of moving it, as being an extension of what we spoke about before, but the not bury at all. It's an extension of the bizyon, the kulei chaye, the disgrace to all of humanity, and therefore this person doesn't have the right to demand us, to command us to do something. Just like if that person commanded us. In other words, Moshe Feinstein is claiming, and I think you might have read this another way, but he's claiming, opening the kever, opening the grave and checking it, we'll see in a second, that's not quite a question of bizayon. That's a question of what's called chirdat hadin, which we'll get to in a second. But moving it, he's saying, is really, but he's saying as soon as it comes into the concept of bizayon, which he thinks taking the body out is. So you see, but I'm going to bury it again. We'll get to that in a second. We'll get to that in a few minutes. So that's all extension of that. And this woman or anybody doesn't have the right to demand of her relatives or of anybody that they do something that is a bizayon, the kulei chaya, that's a problem for, it's a disgrace to all of the rest of humanity. And therefore, so the problem with that is, the Rav Moshe Feinstein knows as well as we do that we are allowed to move people who had been who commanded us to bury them someplace else. They explicitly said before they passed away, they commanded us to bury someplace. So there are cases where we allow that. Rav Moshe Feinstein says, but those cases are only where there's a valid reason for the command. So the two main valid reasons are either to bury the person near other honorable people, meaning let's say there's a spot in a cemetery that's next to some great gunnel, and this whoever it was who passed away had earned the right to bury next to that great gunnel, but they can't happen right now for whatever reason. You know, there's a war going on and the roads are bad, but he earned this right years ago and he wants to be buried there. So he says, fine, you're going to have to bury me here, and then when the war ends, pull me over there. That's a valid reason, because being buried near more honorable people is considered a valid reason. Or to be buried near relatives, right? There's family plot, and the same reason. You can't get buried there yet, so you're going to move him. It's also true that to be buried in Eretz Yisrael is a reason that if somebody commands ahead of time, you're allowed to exhume them, right? And nowadays, thank God, you can usually just bury people right away. You can move them right away by plane and bury them, you know, pack them in ice and whatever to make it happen and bury them in the right place to begin with. But even in 1953, that wasn't yet true. And certainly in the 1800s, the 1700s, the 1600s, and 1500s, where Shulchan Aruch was written, that wasn't true. So what happened when you wanted to bury somebody somewhere, place else? You'd bury them, you'd allow decay to happen, because to move a decaying body was, A, probably a health hazard, and B, an uncomfortable endeavor, because the body would start decaying. So you would bury them, let them decay, and then move the coffin after decay has already completely occurred. So that's allowed when they have a valid reason, such as being buried near loved ones, being buried near Mechubad people, being buried near Yisrael, And then Rav Moshe Feinstein points out, but in all those cases, we only do it when the person who passed away told us they would do it, or we're really, really sure they would want us to. Right? So, and the reason why is because of Cherdat Hadin. So Cherdat Hadin is this idea that when we pass away, we're going to face our final judgment. Right? So there's lots of judgments in life. There's judgment every Rosh Hashanah Kippur, there's judgment at the moment of passing. But after somebody passes away, there's their final judgment until the time of Tchiyat HaMetim, the time of resurrection of the dead. So when that final, when that the judgment happens is unclear. Somebody gets buried. I think it's that whenever we open the kever, they think they're being called for their absolute final judgment. The final judgment before even to see whether they'll get into the world is going to make them. There's a lot of charada. There's a lot of distress and trembling and concern about how that din is going to go. And so in terms of getting around that problem, the fact that the person told us ahead of time before they passed away, they want to be buried, they want to be moved, that lets us say, okay, then we're allowed to do this thing of creating Cherdat Hadin. Yeah, I happen to find, I don't remember why I found this, but in Yabia Omer, in the third volume in the Yerodea section of Chof Gimel, he also says, Shepetichat HaKever, Yesh Yisur Nosov. I think that's a tshuva that he wrote, I think, about removing the bone, moving the body, the not the body anymore, but moving the coffin of Moses Montefiore who to Eretz Yisrael, because he was buried in London near his wife. There was a whole discussion about, which we may have seen. I know I saw it. I don't remember if I made a tape about it. I think we did. There was a whole discussion about whether to move him to Eretz Yisrael or not. Rav Yosef held that we should. Rav Moshe Feinstein held actually that we shouldn't. But I think in that discussion, Rav Yosef agreed with Rav Moshe Feinstein that opening the grave is prohibited because of creating a Cherdas Hadin. Whatever rest the deceased has found, when the grave gets opened up, the mate thinks they're coming for the final judgment, and then has a lot of fear. So that we're allowed to circumvent that because of Kvodel. And you can say that the honor is also outweighs the nivel, right? There's also a certain mistreatment of the deceased when we open the grave and move them to someplace else, but that's all only if at the moment of putting them in the grave, at the moment of burying them, that was well accepted and well understood that we're going to move them. So it was sort of a condition that was put into effect before they buried the person. But if they just buried the person, then that's it. They finished their obligation of honor to the deceased. Rosh Feinstein is going to interpret the obligation of relatives to bury this person as a function of their obligation of honor. So they finished that. Once, so they have this person passes away, this obligation rests upon the people. They think that their job is to bury them in X place. They bury the person in X place. Their job is over. So they no longer have an obligation of kavod anymore, because the obligation of kibbutz, even to a father and a mother, I think doesn't continue so much after death, as Rav Moshe Feinstein is saying, and at least in this way, and therefore the prohibition of nivul, of mistreating them, comes back into play. But when the person, so why does it help the person commanded them before they passed away? He says, because they never finished their obligation. The person commanded them before they passed away, please move me, and they have an obligation, so they bury the person for now, but then they have a continuing obligation. And therefore, at the moment when they'll open the grave to move them again, they are fulfilling their obligation of honoring the person who passed away. And that pushes aside, that's strong enough to overcome the problem of nivul. So Moshe Feinstein points out that when they bury the person with planning to move them, so then even if the new place is just basically the same as the old place, or it's fundamentally equal, the command, the command on the part of the person of the deceased is good enough to say that it's allowed to do that. But if the Rav Moshe Feinstein says if the command is to go to another place, so then the reason is going to be relevant. It's not enough for the person just to have said it. You're going to need a reason. It gives some sources that suggest that in the Shulchan Aruch and the Gra, that you need that the reason is. So usually the reason is that he doesn't like this place or he likes that place, and therefore, like, let's say, to bury him at home in his backyard, I guess they used to bury people, and not in a public cemetery. So Ramah mentions that would be enough of a reason. And then there are some reasons that are so strong that we would allow it to be buried, to move them even without a command, because we're so clear that that's what the person would have wanted. So if it's a reason like that, then we'd have the ability to do it for that reason as well. So then Rav Moshe Feinstein says, but then that means to him that let's say the person commanded them to bury him someplace else, but they didn't mention that when they buried him here. It sounded like they thought they were done, and we usually say, Dvarim Shebelev Einam Dvarim. We say that things that people say internally. The thoughts they have don't count in halakha because we never know what people are thinking, so they don't count in halakha. And therefore, that you wouldn't be able to move them because they never put that as a condition into the burial. And therefore, he says, when people say, mutar lefanot betziva, so he says that he thinks, from Moshe Feinstein, it's only when there's a valid reason. That the honor that we owe this person, if there's a valid reason, pushes aside the nivul. So it's always important to remember he's saying that there's a conflict of values here. It's not, it's fine to move people. It's never fine to move people. It's just that in cases where there's an honor question, so that overcomes the obligation, the problem with moving them that you always have. It overcomes. But if there's no valid reason, you don't listen to them. Now, you might have argued, Moshe Feinstein Brickman, you might have argued, well, isn't there between a lot of nivul, like just leaving them completely unburied, or as opposed to the nivul, to the mistreatment of just opening the grave and moving them carefully and honorably? He says, no, he doesn't think so. And he points out, also, there's a Lech Mishnah, who seems to think that the reason for not being allowed to not bury them is that Kvur is a mitzvah. He doesn't say Bizyone, he says Kvur is a mitzvah, the mitzvah of Kikabor Tikberenu. It's a mitzvah from the Torah. If that's true, because the Torah says Kikabor Tikberenu, this is about a person who was killed by a Beit Din, that we're not allowed to leave the person hanging, we have to bury them, and the Torah doubles the verb, and that was understood in the Gemara to mean that everybody needs to be buried. So, if you leave somebody out, Rav Moshe Feinstein says you're violating the Torah according to this opinion. If that's the reason why we have to bury people, we until now have been talking about an issue of bizayon. But if it's also just the reason we have to make sure they're buried, that's an obligation d'oraita, then when we move the person out of the grave, we're violating that d'oraita, he says, because we're taking that. You'll say, but I'm going to bury them later. And it's for their own good. It doesn't matter. Since there's a mitzvah d'oraita to bury people, we don't darish in time of dikra. We don't like go into reasons. And so he's suggesting that now. Now, it's a little complicated because that should mean there, theoretically, that even if the person commanded to bury them somewhere else and it's a good reason, then you're also violating the Torah, but he doesn't get into that. What he does say is, and don't think that you're allowed to violate the Torah when you know you're going to fix it up later, because we don't say that in halakha. A lot of cases, we don't say that. So, for example, he says, let's say somebody, the example he happens to give, if somebody, raped a woman, and so the halacha in the Torah was that the woman wanted it, and her father wanted it, he would have to marry this woman and marry her forever. That was because she didn't think she could marry to anybody else, and therefore she might prefer to be married to him. And it's a whole discussion of its own in terms of the cultural meanings of rape and how that can happen in relationship, whatever. I don't need to get into those questions right now. Complicated issues and how to translate them into our times. But here's the point that Rav Moshe Feinstein was saying. The Torah says he's not allowed to divorce her ever. So let's say this man decided he was going to divorce her and remarry her in 2 days, for whatever reason. He's not allowed to. Why is he not allowed to? Because he's not allowed to violate the Torah, even if he's going to fix it up later. So here too, if we say the obligation is to bury people, and we're required to bury them, we have to bury them until the resurrection, until Tchiyas HaMeisim. So to say, well, I'm going to bury them now, I'm going to remove them now, and then bury them again, the Rosh Hashanah says, for this opinion, you wouldn't be allowed to in these situations. So that's all his technical discussion why he thinks that they shouldn't be moved. Then he says, and by the way, and all now has been assuming that she really did say she wanted to be moved, because she really did say, I don't like being buried near the fence. Now he says, but the truth is, you tell me the story, I find it hard to believe she really made that condition. Because this family owns 3 rows of plots in the cemetery. So if she had made this condition, they could have easily buried her not near the fence, not in the second row, in the third internal row. That would be relatively far from the fence. Right? So if she made this rule, and she said it, now what they're telling you is she said it several times in her lifetime, that she didn't want to be buried near the fence. If that's true, why are they buried near the fence? They have family plots they could have buried her in that are not near the fence. So what happened? So Moshe Feinstein says he thinks it's clear that at the time of the burial, nobody in the family knew that she'd said such a thing. It never happened. Right? That's what he says. Because otherwise, we have to believe that at the time of the cemetery, at the time of the funeral, they were also, the word that comes to mind is famished. They were also caught up in the moment. They were also, their minds were so confused. They were so forgetful of what had been said. And it took 2 months until they remembered it. Right, so he says he thinks that's very odd that people would forget a clear command of hers not to be buried near the fence so much. So he says what he thinks happened is that it wasn't true. And what happened was that after the burial, after the whole mourning period, the husband, and he says, happens a lot to old people, the husband Nebuch, he's an old man. He's lost his wife. He loved her very much. He's concerned for her. He's concerned about her. He's worried that he didn't do the right thing. He has some kind of he's like a dream. He has like an imagined sequence. It pops in his head. She didn't want to bury it. She didn't like the fence. He doesn't like the fence. We're going to see in a minute why there's a reason why he might have come to this. But so he says, she didn't want to bury it to the fence. And his sons-in-law and sons, they want to support him. The old man's upset. They want to support him. They want to move her. Even though it's not true. And so Rav Weiss says he thinks that the fact their actions contradict their words, he thinks it's a big reason to reject what they said for him. Now again, notice, he's perfectly comfortable saying, I think this is what must have happened, and therefore I think we have to paskal halacha based on what must have happened, even though they're saying clearly something else, he's saying their actions contradict what they say. And then he throws in, and they also, the husband says, you know what, on the other side of the fence, there's a doghouse. He doesn't like the doghouse. Now, I think that Rav Moshe Feinstein thinks that that's really what went on, right? The man sees the doghouse. He goes to visit his wife's grave. He's upset, and he sees the doghouse, and he thinks it's undignified for her. So he knows, or doesn't know, but he senses they wouldn't just listen to him. So he says, she never wants to be near the fence anyway. And the whole family comes to support him. So Rav Moshe Feinstein says, you know what? It's cheaper, financially cheaper, and also halakhically more valid to move the dog. Whoever owns the dog, convince them to move their dog out. So it'll cost a little money, but much less money than moving her will cost, and therefore, that's what he should do. So he ends up thinking that you're not allowed to move her, for all the reasons that we've said, right? It's a bizarre to her, it's a disgrace to her, and to all living beings. It might be a violation of the prohibition, of the obligation to bury people, and even though we're going to bury her again, without a specific condition, once you put somebody into their grave, the family's obligations towards that person have ended, and therefore they don't have the right to override the issues of bizarre of disgrace. And therefore, and of the pain and the stress that being moved from a grave caused the deceased in the Jewish tradition, and therefore Moshe Feinstein thinks that she has to be left there, and they should do what they do about the doghouse. That is responsible today for the 24th of Tammuz, with thanks to the OU, to Rabbi Jacob Romans, David Hochhauser. Have a great day.